We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Visit
MTE.com.
Middle Tennessee Electric.
Serving to make life better.
Since 1936.
This is WGNS Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers.
Since 1947.
WGNS Action Line. Now your host, Scott Walker.
With us this morning in studio, we have got Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Great spring break morning.
Kind of gray out there, but
yeah,
temperature feels good.
Yeah, feels good. It was sprinkling a little bit as I came in.
It was, yeah. I think it's going to be off and on today.
Yeah. You know, it's a weird time of year. You know, I was telling somebody that the other day that it seems like that this March time frame, you have 70-degree weather, you could have 30-degree weather, you could have tornadic activity. I mean, there's all kinds of things that happen.
Could be anything.
Like yeah.
Snow one day and rain the next day. Who knows? What's new and what's going on in the world of mayorship?
Yeah, we've had a lot of good stuff happening. Our city team's been working really hard. We, of course, continue working on road projects. We unveiled the next four sections of Cherry Lane in our last city council workshop. So the Cherry Lane, Stones Battle Parkway, that's the new road that's going to be built from West Murfreesboro all the way over to East Jefferson Pike, the memorial area. I think it has the opportunity to be one of the most beneficial roads ever built in Rutherford County, because you know what it's going to do? It's going to connect that entire West Blackman area to where you can go all the way across 24 through the Florence area, Broad Street, 840, drive all the way back to where the soccer park area is and come out onto Memorial Boulevard and never have to go through town, never have to hit one of the existing interchanges. I mean, lots of good stuff that's coming that way. I did, Scott, talk about something pretty cool. It was Friday in a feat that had never been done before.
Uh-oh.
I feel like we need to like cue up like some suspenseful music.
Yeah, I wish I had some. Yeah. Let's see here.
Dr. Duke with the Murfreesboro City Schools. It was me, Trey Duke, and then we had an escort, Captain Don Fanning. We hit, Friday was Reading in Schools Day.
Yeah.
And Trey and I hit every single Murfreesboro school, all 13 schools.
You read at each school?
We read at each school.
I didn't even know y'all could read. This is awesome.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So we started at Hobgood, and Captain Fanning had mapped out a route for us to hit. And we hit all 13 schools, got to read to every single school, got to sit down with I don't know how many students, but a lot of students. And I sent an email on Friday night, and the thing that completely impressed me outside of the kids and how excited they were, I described it as the vibe that every single school that I went in and got to meet the principals, and it was unreal how good it was, how excited the administration and the teachers all were. So we've got a good school system, and I'm a huge public school advocate. It even more affirmed my opinion on what we have in Murfreesboro. And we went to, there were several classes that were some developmental classes, and the teachers specifically went over at Northfield. Principal Miffleton took us into a class, and couldn't be any better. Reeves Rogers was one that they all were good, but I mean, two that popped out to me, Bradley Academy, the energy that was in Bradley Academy just from the teachers and the kids, and then also Reeves Rogers, which are two of our older schools in Murfreesboro. I think Reeves Rogers is probably one of the oldest schools in Murfreesboro, and Mitchell Nielsen, I think, is in that category as well.
That's one I went to.
Yeah, Mitchell Nielsen, I could go through every single school about how good it was. So I'm proud to be a part of that.
You know, when you're younger, like in your 20s or so in college, you don't really appreciate how funny little kids are and the things they say until you have your own kids. And it's at that point it like turns on this switch and you're like, man, kids are funny.
Yeah.
They always ask the best questions.
I need to write a book on all the questions I'm going to write a book one of these days on all the funny things that have happened to me since I've been mayor. But we read from kindergartners all the way up to fifth and sixth grade. And the questions that you get, it's pretty cool.
It's hilarious. And you know, once you're a father, your main goal is to not have your kids turn out the way. Do you remember that mayor? I forgot. It was like in New York or somewhere. His kid was next to him whenever he was inaugurated. And he was like making faces and all. It was hilarious. Yeah.
Well, I think that happened with John Rose with his son too at a State of the Union maybe. I don't know what it was, but it's funny looking back, going down memory lane. You know, I remember when I first started on city council, both of my boys, I remember pulling them in a wet red wagon at the WGNS Christmas parade at that time. And then seeing, you know, some of the things that they have said. But the part that we were trying to impress, and I'm going to sound like I'm speaking to a second or third grade group, but one of the things that I think helps me be an effective mayor more than anything is being able to read.
Yeah.
And read well. In high school, this is a long time ago, so I'm dating myself. I took a speed reading class. And
I didn't even know there was a speed reading class.
Yeah, we had a speed reading class. It was for two semesters. And the amount of information that you get and the amount of information that you have to process and process that information quickly, that's what I tell all the kids, that their reading skills, it's the foundation of anything that they're going to do moving forward. And that makes it tough too, because, you know, I've got an iPad sitting in front of me right now, and we've got AI and we've got all these things that do a lot of work for us. But the reading, your reading comprehension and all those things, it's huge. And every kid that we talk with, I mean, it was, if you want to feel good and you want to feel good about what's happening in Murfreesboro, I would tell you, go spend some time in a couple of these schools. And when you get done, you're like, okay, there are things that we have to work on. So traffic is one, you know, we work on on growth and all these things. But once you get done in those schools, in my email I sent out to Dr. Duke, I said, I don't know that there's anything that I've done since I've been involved with the city that was as cool as what we did today.
Do you sometimes get questions from little kids are like on point? You know, that really does relate to what's going on in Murfreesboro.
I always get the question of how much money the mayor makes.
millions.
Yeah, so it's not many, you know, they don't, at that stage of their life, they don't understand that the mayor of Murfreesboro is a part-time position, although I'd argue it's a full-time position. But, you know, when I tell them the mayor of Murfreesboro makes less than $1,600 a month or whatever that number is, they are like, oh, wow, that's a lot. And then the teachers are sitting back in the back and they're like, holy crap, I didn't know that, you know. So, it's you get all kinds. You get the question of like, hey, where's the mayor's mansion? And I'm like, well, we don't have one of those. So it's really fun. It's a lot of fun to interact with all of them.
I still talk to some people who may have lived here for 2 or 3 years, and they come here assuming the mayor is a full-time position. And maybe they were in a town where it was, you know. Yeah. But there's a lot of people who don't realize it's not a full, even though it is a full-time job in a lot of ways, but they don't realize it's not a full-time position.
There's pros and cons with that. You know, the majority of the job that we do is all service delivery. And, you know, we pick your trash up, we build your roads, we make sure that you're safe. I think that's something, as I've gotten older, that's, if you don't live in a safe community and you don't feel like you live in a safe community, then traffic and all those other things are secondary if you don't live in a safe community. And that's something I'm proud of, that the city council, you know, like I just saw an ad the other day where we're hiring some new police officers, and the starting salary for a police officer, $67,000 right now. Still not enough.
How does that compare to other cities?
I think if you compare to cities our size, we're absolutely in the top. Now, it's much tougher when you compare us to a city like Nashville. But I would argue we're not having 40% tax increases either.
Yeah.
So we've been able to do everything we've done without raising property taxes. And, you know, we had to raise taxes in 2018. But before that, I think it was 24 years. So we've had one tax increase in 30 years. I mean, we've had one tax increase since I've been on the city council. And I know it was years before that they had one. So that's something that we continually work on. And I think the mayor being part-time, the one thing that I can 100% tell the resident with certainty, there's no politics in people getting hired or the service delivery of the city. I mean, we don't ask you how you voted when we go pick your trash up. We don't do that. And I think in other cities, and, you know, you see whatever side of the political aisle you're on, like you see in what happened in New York last week, and you start immediately seeing how the mayor and other areas align what they're doing politically, and that just doesn't happen in Murfreesboro, because, I mean, I don't think there's any politics in service delivery, and that's why when we have trained people like Darren Gore and our city management team and our city staff, they don't look at things from a political lens. They look at it. I'll give you a great example. Yesterday morning, a gentleman named Pete emailed me about some limbs that were hanging over on Bond Street, and emailed Pete back and said, "Hey, thank you so much for sending this. I don't know the answer, but I'm going to CCN our public works team and our street department team." They had it done by the end of the day. And so, I mean, I think that's the part where it doesn't always happen that way, but there's just no political lens when we're providing services.
I think one of the best things about having the mayor as an elected part-time position is the fact that you guys, the city council as a whole, are able to pick out the best of the best when it comes to hiring somebody to actually run the city, like the city manager as an example, perfect example of that.
Yeah, I mean, you even look at the new city attorney that we voted on Thursday. We hired Jeff Peach from Smyrna. I mean, widely known as one of the best municipal attorneys that you can find. There was not ever one discussion, how'd you vote, who'd you vote for? I mean, it's like, okay, that guy's really good. That guy has a track record. He'll provide a good service to our residents. And I mean, I think that's what we try to do.
How did Smyrna feel about that move?
You know, Mary Esther and I are close. And I think if you asked her, she'd tell you the same. We talk 3 or 4 times a week just to bounce ideas off of each other. And she called me last night about 8 o'clock. She called me last night. I was walking the dog and was like, "Hey, I want to update you on this." So the first call that I made, you know, whenever our city attorney said he was moving, is, you know, if there's someone in your community that you see and that you think would do good, you want to encourage them to apply. I mean, you can't hire somebody before you publicly go through a process. And so I called Mary Esther and just said, "Hey, would like to at least reach out to see if Jeff would be interested in applying." And like a true professional, Mary Esther said, "I would never," and this tells you the type of character that she has. She said, "I would never stop one of my people who work with the city of Smyrna from trying to do something better for their family. And if this is a better opportunity, I would encourage, you know, him to do that." And so, I mean, we joked around. Of course, Jeff had done such a great job for all the things in Smyrna. So they hated to lose him. But at the same time, I think they were all, you look at the comments that the city, their town council made, and they're proud for their friend.
You see that in good companies out there. You know, it's the companies that they want their people, their employees, to continue to do better. And, you know, they push them for it. And that's a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, I think here's what I would say. If people are not trying to hire your people, that means that you've probably gotten stagnant. And so, you know, to her credit, that's a big deal. So for a town the size of Smyrna, it's a big deal to lose one of your top two people. And so when we were going through the entire process, the city council made it very clear that we didn't want to do anything that would adversely impact Smyrna. So Jeff technically doesn't start until May the 1st to give them time to go through their entire process. So it's something that we want to, you know, we want to be good friends and we want to be good neighbors.
We have a couple of questions already texted in. And by the way, our phone number is 615-893-1450 if you want to text in any questions for the mayor of Murfreesboro. One of them says, "With Murfreesboro continuing to grow rapidly, what specific steps is the city taking this year to address traffic congestion on major roads like Medical Center Parkway?"
Yeah, Medical Center Parkway, you'll notice that we widened, we finished last November, December, we widened Medical Center Parkway to 6 lanes from Thompson Lane all the way back to I-24. We're now under construction on phase 2 of Medical Center Parkway, widening Medical Center Parkway all the way back to the fountains. That's going 3 lanes. And then the next process step will be going from the fountains all the way back to Broad Street. And so that's the thing, I think. It's a misnomer sometimes. So if you go and look at our major thoroughfare plan, if you're a resident, go to MurfreesboroTN.gov, look at our transportation plan. You're seeing exactly where we are on all the roads inside of Murfreesboro. Significant I mean, 75% of the money that we borrow is all on road construction. We constantly are working through improving our road network, but there's some constraints with that because a lot of the roads in Murfreesboro are state roads. And so we are continually working with our state partner. For example, Old Fort Parkway, TDOT has changed their funding structure. It used to be a 90-10 state to city, 80-20 state to city funding. Now it's more of a pay to play. It's a 50-50. And so the city council allocated almost $15 million to improve Old Fort Parkway from Highway 99 back to I-24. But TDOT's funding is not till 2030, 2031. Wow. We, in turn, are doing all the steps that we can do to get to that process. So, you know, part of my job is continually working with our delegation, and we have a great delegation, our state elected officials, in helping secure funding to help Murfreesboro. Like, the city council allocated a significant amount of money to improve Highway 231 from Thompson Lane out to West Jefferson Pike. And a lot of, you know, that's a county road as well. I mean, I know it sounds like a political answer, but it is the truth when you start going and looking at the road networks and the road projects that not only that we have completed, but the road projects that are in process. And part of that is also, as growth and development come in, it's making sure that the developers are paying their fair share of improving that infrastructure as a project comes in. And that's, you know, that's what you've seen here on Broad Street where we're sitting. You're seeing the new intersection and turning lanes that are put here. It's almost $3 to $4 million that the development team is paying for. So you've got all those things that we work to accomplish.
I've been a little surprised at the growth on Veterans Parkway between Highway 96 and 99. I kind of thought there was going to be a lot more growth out there.
You know, there's been a lot. That's a discussion the city council is having. And that's one of the things I'll tell you, like going to these 13 schools on Friday, you wouldn't believe the amount of notes that I made as we're just driving around. I mean, I'm in all the areas all the time, but like, I'm texting and emailing Darren Gore, our city manager, hey, we need to work on this, we need to work on that. You know, out in that Highway 96, 99 area, there's a significant portion of land that's owned by, you know, one land bank family that some of the planned developments were done back in 2008, 2010. So that's a discussion that the city council is going to have about expiring planned developments. But I mean, at the same time, I'll tell you this, I'm not like jumping up and down for a lot of, you know, growth in that area right now. I mean, there's a subdivision that came to us that's going to be on our joint conceptual workshop. That's the Pike property out there. It's 300 acres.
Where is it?
Armstrong Valley and Thompson Road. And so that's the part where you're looking at that and you want to make sure. I mean, that's probably a 10-year project. That's part of the things that, you know, we look at in that area, look at the road network, look at the service delivery network, and, you know, try to figure that out.
And what type of project is that going to be?
It's mainly single family houses. And that's the part where we're, you know, looking at. There's an argument on, you know, if you look at our growth rate has typically been between, over the last 3 or 4 years, you look, it's in the 2% range, 1.5 to 2.5%. You know, the days of back in COVID when we were at 8-10% growth rate, those have significantly slowed down. But part of that is, and this is to the people who, you know, like me, have lived here over 30 years, you know, part of it is the housing demand has gotten higher, but the supply is so low that it's hard to find an affordable house in Murfreesboro. I mean, no one knew, I think 10 years ago, and COVID was a significant part of this. A starter home in Murfreesboro now is in the $500,000 range, $450,000 to $500,000 range. I was having this conversation with my boys the other night, and he was like, you guys got so lucky. You know, your first house was $100,000, and I mean, we can't afford a $500,000 house. And so I think that's what you're seeing across the board is, how do you manage that?
And there's, I'm sure, some people who are looking at the future saying, well, if I buy this house, I'm never going to be able to retire because I'm going to be paying for it for the next 30 plus years.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an answer that everyone wants to hear. And this is the thing I'll tell every person listening. Of course, you know, I'm running to do this one more time. There's several things that I want to get accomplished. You know, two of the top things, and I want to say this, like, two of the top things outside of public safety, public safety is always going to be a factor that's in on the top of my mind on making sure that our public safety professionals and officers and fire and rescue department, our dispatchers, are at the top of their profession and that they're out there protecting us. It's roads, infrastructure. I mean, that's one, and 1A is getting a solid waste and landfill solution. That's something that there's been a lot happen over that over the last month or so, but those are the things that we continually try to have at the forefront, at the same time planning of what the next 15, 20 years of Murfreesboro looks like.
And you know, I remember there was a time growing up where everybody who owned a home, their goal was, I'm going to pay this house off and then I'll be able to, you know, retire in X amount of years. I don't know if that's a goal that people have anymore.
Well, I mean, I think it changed. Some of that goal changed when you had 2.5% and 3% interest rates, and your house payment was, you know, so low that you're like, okay, you've got money. I'm not a financial advisor, but you, when you've got money that you've got in a home mortgage that's 2.5%, 3%, and then you've got money that is in your retirement account that is growing way more than 2.5%, 3%, then at some point you look at it and go, okay, why would I pay the house off?
Yeah.
And I think that's something that for our senior citizens that we are continuing to focus on. I mean, you look at a senior citizen who has a house in Murfreesboro, there's not been an increase. I mean, now there's been an increase in value. I mean, so I think the reappraisal that they're really talking about, that it could be an increase of 35% to 40% in value. And so there's been an increase in value at someone's house over the last 10 years. I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I would be willing to bet that the value of your home has doubled over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Your tax rate hasn't. Your tax rate's gone down. I suspect that after a reappraisal, our new tax rate will be down in the 65 cent range. So I think those are the things that we try to look really hard at. Everyone will talk about, you need to build more infrastructure. You need to build more infrastructure. And I agree. But you also have to be measured in how you do that, you know, we're not putting that financial burden on, you know, our senior citizens and those who live on a fixed income, who may have that house paid off and they're living on their Social Security or they're living on their dividends that come in off their retirement. So that's something that we'll continue work on.
Another question we have here, are there any new economic development projects or companies planning to move into the Murfreesboro area in the near future?
Yeah, we've got 3 or 4 things that we've really been working on. Of course, you're seeing all the infrastructure that's being done out at the Buc-ee's, you know, at the interchange at Joby Jackson. And that's the thing I'd tell the resident. The amount of tax revenue that will come in off of the Buc-ee's development, one, it helps keep your property taxes low. But two, it helps us build more roads because of the fuel that's sold in the Murfreesboro. We get a portion of that back to be able to pave streets, build roads, you know, improve streets, sidewalks. So that's something that's extremely important. But there's some developments that out on Broad Street, a technology park that has been coming through the city council that I think that's very significant for job creation and for property tax revenue. There's a development that's on Medical Center Parkway that we've had multiple meetings about. There's a development out on the south side of Murfreesboro out in the Joby Jackson area that we're continuing to have discussions on. So, I mean, I think that's something that we continually work on, is making sure that we try to promote job creation inside the city.
The South Church Street side, 231 South, Joby Jackson, it's starting to really pick up in growth, commercial growth.
Yeah, I mean, you start looking out. I think that's one of the things that is the positive of people locating out in those areas, that you're starting to see businesses. And we do this and promote as a city to where, for example, if you live on that south side, that there are the goods and services that are out there that you don't have to drive all across Murfreesboro. So, you know, you look at Murfreesboro Medical Clinic that's out there. There's a Lowe's that's going through the process right now out on Highway 231. So, you know, that way you don't have to drive to Old Fort Parkway to go to Lowe's. I mean, the other thing, I'm a big Ace Hardware. I love going to Elders, the new, used to be Haynes Hardware. You start looking at some of the existing and older businesses that are improving. That's something as a city that we can't forget, that it's great to have all these new businesses come in, but we also have to make sure that we're doing everything that we possibly can to promote and help our existing businesses.
Now, what area of South Church is Lowe's looking at?
Right over across from Murfreesboro Medical Clinic, right? I think there's a Thornton's right there.
Yeah, and then across the street from that, they're building another gas station. And from what I understand, that gas station is just as popular as Bucky's. I forgot what it's called, though. It's right next to MMC.
Wawa?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a bunch of Wawas that have come into the community. I've talked to the people several times. There was a big discussion that, you know, and this is something I think our team gets tired of me hearing this. One of the things for January that when you go through for the year, a good friend of mine, he's a pastor in town, I'll never forget one of the things that he always would impress on us is, you know, major on the major and minor on the minor. And that Wawa gas station, they had a specific footprint of color scheme that they liked that, you know, it's like the In-N-Out burger. That In-N-Out burger color scheme didn't fit with things that we had in Murfreesboro. But at the end of the day, I think people are like, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, as it is right now, IKEA, if IKEA wanted to come into Murfreesboro under our ordinance, their blue and gold building wouldn't be approved. And so I think that's one of the things that we continually work on to be like, okay, we're going to focus on the major things and the minor things that most people don't care about. We're going to let those be secondary. The main thing's going to be the main thing.
My brain's weird where if I read something, if I listen to something and hear it, it's harder for me to remember. But if I read it, it's like with me for life.
Yeah.
But I remember years ago, Dr. Stephen Covey said, don't get stuck in the thick of thin things. And that's the same route you're talking about.
Yeah.
Don't focus on these little bitty issues within the bigger picture.
Well, I think we have a tendency as a municipality that we focus on the what if. What if this happened?
Yeah.
You know, what if that happened? And I would argue that you can't run a city on, well, what if one of these days this one person did this one thing that could cause this to happen? If you manage a municipality that way, you almost get analysis or get paralysis from analysis. And so, you know, I think government, the residents of Murfreesboro want government to do what we do well, no more, no less. And so I think that's one of the things that we have to do as a city. We have to be there when our people need us. We have to protect our residents when they need protection. But then a lot of times you have to let things move on. And I think I think our staff has done a really good job at getting those things done.
Somebody just asked, they said, I know you probably can't say what business it is, but what is the other one that is looking to possibly build or locate in the South Church area that you mentioned?
The South Church area, there. So this is not necessarily in what I would say the South Church area. This is on, go down County Farm Road and then go down Joby Jackson Parkway. There's a significant development that's going through the process right now. A lot of job creation that's out there, and it's more of a, there's not a lot of manufacturing, what you would say true manufacturing anymore. It's almost technology manufacturing, and so I think it's one of those types of job creation markets that will be in that area. And, you know, not to mention you've got the company from Australia that's building out on Manchester Highway that acquired Barrett Manufacturing. It's on the corner of Buchanan Road and Manchester Highway. Their facility is under construction there.
I've heard a lot of good things about that company.
Yeah.
We already heard good things about Barrett.
Yeah.
But the new, I guess, owner.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of positive family type things.
Yeah, and that's a partnership that, you know, we provided sewer to that. That's a partnership we have, you know, work with the county. So continue, you know, that's part of our responsibility is put egos aside, and we have to work well with our county partners. We're still working on getting things where they need to be with MTSU, and I hope we can do that soon.
We have to take a real quick break, and I know we don't have a lot of time, but we got to fit this in real fast, and then we will be right back with Murfreesboro Mayor Shay McFarland.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. We really focus on value. They get value. They get more than what they pay for. They get a higher level service. They get higher level food at a price that is a lot more affordable. What we're trying to do is we're trying to give people the value, and again, that they were fulfilled both within their stomach and as well as their pockets. We want them to feel satisfied. come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Our prices are as good or better than the box stores. I don't think you'll do better by shopping online than you would by coming in. Being able to hold a guitar, try it out. You can't do that online. I am absolutely sure we have more selection of instruments than anybody else in the area. New and used. We have used instruments as well as new ones. Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course. Thank you very much for being our customers.
Hi, this is Wanda Mills, and I'm here to invite you to come and visit Adam's Place. I love to read, and there's a monthly book club that meets and enjoys a current book. There's always something going on. We have a lot of country music, symphonies, and chorus, and jazz, so we all enjoy the variety.
I'd love to give you a tour of Adam's Place. Adam's Place, on Memorial, across from Walmart.
This message brought to you by the Central Tennessee Regional Solid Waste Planning Board. Visit RecycleRightTN.com for tips, ideas, and locations on where to recycle near you.
Don't be trashy, recycle classy, Recycle Right Tennessee.
Recycling isn't just about tossing materials in a bin, it's about knowing which materials are accepted. Go to RecycleRightTN.com.
Recycle Right Tennessee.
South Central Bank has two CD specials that will help your money grow. South Central Bank has a five-month CD with an annual percentage yield of 4.15% or a 25-month CD with an annual percentage yield of 3.8%. Two great ways to put your money to work. You choose the term that works best for you. $500 minimum balance to obtain the APY. Stop by any of our convenient South Central Bank locations today and take advantage of our two great rates. South Central Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Again, Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland in studio with us this morning. A quick question we had. Clarksville's public transportation runs at night. Does Murfreesboro have any plans to extend their hours for their public transportation?
I don't think so. Right now, the ridership that would be using that at night is so small that it would be almost economically impossible to run it at night. Now, if it's like with anything, Scott, if the demand showed that it was there, I think the city council would absolutely consider to do that. But the level of service that you would have to provide to keep the transit center open at night, to keep all the routes running, would be pretty tough right now, especially if you had such a small group that would be using that.
Going back to Cherry Lane and the Cherry Lane extension, whatever became of that Sazerac, or am I even saying it right?
Yeah, no, it's still there. We still monitor and still have, they have a development agreement in place. They have a deposit that they've put in place, so it's still there. And I think, you know, I've gotten to where over the years that you work on all these different things and you get these groups and very well recognized. Sazerac's a world-renowned company, but until you see a shovel in the ground,
yeah,
it's one of those things that if it happens, it happens, but it's still being planned for.
And that's a brewery that makes several different types or lines, I guess, of alcoholic beverages.
Yeah, it's a bourbon company, but, you know, I think you have to read all the stories. I think we've talked about this before. The bourbon market, I don't think, is in a great spot right now. And it's funny, the Wall Street Journal article I read that the one thing that has hurt the bourbon industry has been Ozempic-type drugs.
Really?
Yeah.
Never knew that.
Yeah.
I guess, well, I have heard that you can't drink if you're taking those medications.
Yep. So it's pretty interesting.
Another question that we only have a minute left. New apartments. Are we going to see or continue to see new apartment complexes? Because a lot of them are an eyesore, they said.
No. It's interesting. We had a graph come to the city council a month or so ago. The apartment growth in Murfreesboro over the last 5 or 6 years has been like 1%. It's like 130 to 40 units over the last 6 or 8 years. It's really interesting to go see those numbers. Now, the apartments that have been built that you look at, the majority of them are all in the Gateway area. And a lot of the people who are renting those units in the Gateway are all young professionals who are driving or single people who are driving back and forth to Nashville and want to be close to the interstate, but also want to be able to walk and have all the amenities out there. So No, but I don't think you're going to see new apartments built in Murfreesboro.
That's probably a positive, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we did back six or almost 8 years ago when we changed our sewer ordinance, because zoning ordinance is, once someone is entitled for something they got 30 years ago, you can't change it. And so, but our sewer capacity is something that we can look at. And so right now, you've only got at a max 9 units per acre, and typically that doesn't work for apartments to go on.
Again, Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, guys. All right, bud. See you.